Well, if you've got the Bible there, I know it was a little while since Mike read it to us. Mike, thank you very much. Page 44-45, as we continue looking at this account of the life of Joseph. I wonder what you make of dreams. Now, for many of us, dreams are pretty meaningless. We often can't remember what we dreamt when we wake up in the morning. But in today's world, where people believe almost anything, many try and interpret dreams. One website, I read this. You are entering the mysterious and fascinating world of dreams, where the rules of reality do not apply. We hope that dream moods will help you make sense of your dreams and achieve a better understanding of them. We're dedicated to helping you find the key to unlocking and interpreting the means of your dreams. Well, you can find many, many people who will try and help you understand your dreams. And of course, it will all be to do with you. Well, this morning, as we look at these chapters of Genesis, at the heart of these chapters are dreams. And while we may see dreams as meaningless, in Genesis, and as supremely in the story of Joseph, we are in the world of dreams, and dreams are significant. Because what we see is God speaking through the dreams to people. Earlier on in Genesis, we read how Jacob, on the run from Isaac and Esau, stopped at Bethel and had this dream of a stairway reaching up to heaven with angels on it. And through it, God spoke to him. Now here in the passage, we see that God was using dreams. Verse 5 of chapter 40. It says, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream that same night. And each dream had a meaning of its own. And so what we see here in these chapters of Genesis is that we have a speaking God. In verses 6 to 8, Joseph explains to the cupbearer and the baker. He finds them sitting morosely in their cell. He asks what the matter was. They said, we've had these dreams and no one could interpret them. And Joseph's response, verse 8, and Joseph said to him, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Joseph understood from his own dreams earlier on that God could speak through the dreams. And we see the same later on in chapter 41, in verses 15 and 16, where Pharaoh's had his dreams. And Joseph summoned to explain them to Joseph. Again, he makes it very clear that it is God who is speaking. You've got the Bible there, chapter 41, verse 16. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. God was speaking. Yes, he was speaking through Joseph, but God was speaking. And what we're meant to see from this, friends, is that God speaks. He speaks to his people. In this situation, he speaks through dreams because there was no written word. And God speaks. Now, friends, just before you rush off to see your analyst and tell your analyst your dreams so that your analyst can tell you what the meanings of them are, can I just say that actually we live in better times now than the cupbearer and the baker and Pharaoh. Because we have God's written word and we have Jesus who is the living word. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read these words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. We have the written word of God, which is so much better for us. Clear, objective. But I know we love these special ways these unusual ways of God's speaking. I know so many times people have spoken to me about Gideon and Gideon putting out his fleece to see what God wanted Gideon to do, and people saying, oh, I'm going to put out a fleece to see what God wants me to do. We love them. We love the dreams and signs and so on. They're much more dramatic. But to look to those, friends, is to go backwards. To go backwards to the Old Testament, to a time before Jesus, before the written word, and to look to those is to want less rather than more. God has spoken. God has spoken through his Son and through his word. And so by and large, God does not speak today in the ways that he did in the Old Testament. Yes, of course he can. Friends, God can speak through your dream. But by and large, God speaks to us through his word, pointing us to the living word, who is Jesus. God is a God who speaks. In the past, he did it in a myriad of ways. Today, we have a better way because he's spoken in Jesus and he speaks through his word. And that, friends, is where we should look. That is where we should look. God speaks. And through the passage, we see the speaking God revealing himself as the sovereign God. As we've been seeing over these weeks, as we looked at this story of Joseph, it shows us how God is in control. He's in control of the lives of individuals. He's in control of the lives of nations. We see that in chapter 41, verse 25. When speaking to Pharaoh about his dreams, Joseph said this: the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he, that is God, is about to do. And then in verse 32, the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God. And God will do it soon. Here is Joseph, he's speaking to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was important in the first part of the reading that Mike read for us. He refers to him over and over again of the king of Egypt. He was important. But Joseph makes it very clear who is in control, and it wasn't Pharaoh. The whole of this story shows God using his sovereign power to bring about his own purposes. Have you ever stopped to wonder, why do we get the cupbearer and the baker? What part do they play? They're only bit part players. They lead us to this point in chapter 41 where Joseph meets Pharaoh. That's what all this is leading to. The pit that Joseph has put in, the sale to the Midianite traders, being put in prison falsely, as we saw last week, it's all leading to this point where Joseph stands before Pharaoh. That's what God is doing. He's putting Joseph in the right place at the right time for God's purposes to be fulfilled. God is a speaking God. He is a sovereign God, and thirdly, he is a saving God. That's why Joseph's in Egypt. Turn to the end of chapter 41, if you've got a Bible there, verse 56. And it reads like this: when the famine is spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians. For the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe over all the world. Joseph's being used by God to save people from the famine, but specifically to save his people. That is Jacob and the family. In God's sovereign purposes, that meant them coming down to Egypt. And friends, what we're seeing here is that our God is a God of salvation. Joseph is part of that salvation history of God, leading to that greater salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God of Joseph. This is the God of the Old Testament. This is the God of the New Testament. A speaking God, a sovereign God, a saving God. And then finally, we look at the part that Joseph plays in all this, and we see how we are meant to relate to this speaking, sovereign, saving God. And we see this, Joseph as the servant of God. Now, I don't know what Joseph felt when he was thrown into the pit. I don't know what he felt when he was sold to the Midianite traders, or when he was falsely accused and put into prison. But what we do see in these verses is Joseph seeing himself very clearly as the servant of God. The servant of God with him. Even in the difficult place, and Claire referred to that earlier in the service, even in the difficult, dark place, Joseph still knew, A, that God was with him, and B, that he was God's servant, and he was there for a purpose. He was a willing servant as well. That's why in Potiphar's house he was so well appreciated. That's why in the prison he was so well appreciated and used by the jailer to help others. Because he was a willing servant. And if we learn one thing from God's word this morning, it is that we're called to be willing servants of God. Whatever our situation may be, it's not always easy. But we're called to be willing servants of God. But Joseph's nature and his role was, in a sense, a little bit more specific. He had to be a willing servant. And I wonder, you know, as we look at our own lives, and as we think about it in terms of Joseph in those difficult situations, are we willing as servants? I remember some years back, hearing the story that in the press that buses from Hanley to Bagnall in Staffordshire no longer stopped to pick up passengers. The situation came to light when one passenger complained that regularly buses on the route sailed past queues of people. And a councillor then made transport history by stating that if these buses stopped to pick up passengers, they would disrupt the timetable. A bus has a purpose. A bus has a purpose. And friends, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as servants of God, we have a purpose. We are called to serve. To serve God, to serve each other. Joseph had that willingness to serve God. I wonder if we have that willingness. I know recently we've been filling out forms about our involvement and our service here in the church. And that's great, but we need to understand that we are called to serve, even when life is a bit tough and it's not easy. But Joseph had a specific role, a specific role. And it's shown when he responds to the butler and to the baker's dreams. Because he speaks of God's word to these people. Not because he had the ability. He says, do not interpretations belong to God. There was a reliance on God. But he spoke. He spoke God's word clearly. He comes to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, interpret my dreams. And what is it he says? He says, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. It's not the sort of thing you say to the king of Egypt. Sorry, can't do it. Doesn't have a sort of great life prospect if you say things like that to the king of Egypt. But he said it. I can't do it, but God can. But God can. Here is a servant of God who knew what his role was. His role was to speak for God, but he says, I cannot do it. He had to rely on God. Sorry, had to rely on God. And that reflects that verse there put on the screen. from 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. In Joseph's situation, Joseph knew he had to speak of God, but he knew he couldn't do it, and he relied on God to help him. And he spoke, didn't he? We've been seeing that over the weeks. He spoke to Potiphar's wife. We saw it last week when he said in Genesis 39:9, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He spoke God's word to Potiphar's wife. He spoke to the butler and the baker. Do not interpretations belong to God? And they interpreted God's word to them. He spoke about it to Pharaoh. God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. He was willing, and he did what God asked of him, which was to speak to people about God. And friends, that's where the rubber hits the road this morning, isn't it? Because that's what we are called to do as well. Jesus called his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. It's about speaking for God as God enables us. Now, many of us will echo Joseph's words. I can't do it. Whoa, hang on a minute. I can't speak for God. I can't speak to anybody about God. But God can, and God will. He who calls you, he who calls you to speak for him is faithful, and he will do it. That's what Joseph relied on. God will do it. God will give me the words to say, in interpreting these dreams. We're not called to interpret dreams. We're simply called to speak into different situations. It may be a friend who's not yet a Christian, but it may be a Christian brother or sister who's struggling, and we need to speak of God to them in that situation. And we have to rely on God for that. Rebecca Manley Pippert, in her well-known book, Out of the Salt Shaker, wrote this. Let me quote. I realized I was giving myself too much credit. What I was saying was that if I made one mistake or couldn't answer one question, it was all over. They were doomed. Their entire eternal destiny rested on my ability to know every answer. God might be powerful, but he could never again reach the person I had offended or the person whose questions I couldn't answer. Now, isn't that often how we think? I don't know enough to say. I might get the words wrong. I might say something wrong. I might upset somebody. I cannot do it. And actually, we need to know that. We need to recognize that I cannot do it. But we need to recognize also that God will give Pharaoh the answers he wishes. God can do it. God will do it. Joseph spoke for God because God enabled him to do it. God calls us to speak for him, and we need to rely on God to do it as well. We have a speaking, a saving, a sovereign God. And by God's grace, we are his children. But friends, he calls us to be not just his children, to be his servants. His servants who speak his word that others might know the speaking, sovereign, saving God. May God bless us as we do that. Let me pray for us. Father, many of us do know our weaknesses, our failings. We know that we get tongue-tied when we start to talk about you. But Father, we do hear your word. We hear your word that we are called to be your servants who speak. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us and you would encourage us to speak for you, that others might know your grace, others might know your love, others might know your care. And this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.